Is Elon Musk's time in government actually coming to an end? Or is that just what Musk and the Republican Party want you to think? Trump has been actively distancing himself from Musk in recent weeks.
He wants to get back home to his cars.
This is Elon speaking on Tesla's Q1 2025 earnings call.
I think starting probably in next month, May, my time allocation to Doge will drop significantly.
But then, just a few days ago, Musk was an invited guest at the Saudi-US investment forum that accompanied the president's trip to the Middle East. So, is Musk stepping back, or isn't he?
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy!
Should I stay or should I go?
And whenever Musk does actually leave government, will he have accomplished what he set out to do? I worked with More Perfect Union to break down what's actually going on. We found that despite all of the rhetoric about leaving the government behind, Elon's influence over the future of the Trump administration goes deeper than you think. And his work at Doge continues to benefit his companies while further transferring wealth and power from the working class to the ultra-wealthy. So why does the White House want you to think that they're parting ways with the world's richest man? Let's go back to the beginning.
Take over, Elon! Yes, take over!
It all started with one big investment. Elon donated $288 million total to the Trump campaign. He also formed America PAC, where he paid voters to sign petitions.
I'm not just MAGA. I'm dark, gothic MAGA.
It all worked. Trump won and took his new friend Elon with him to DC and created a very special position for a very special boy. He's literally called a special government employee, which required no confirmation hearing. Elon became the figurehead for the Department of Government Efficiency.
You know, they say I wear a lot of hats. And as you can see, it's true.
The billionaire originally promised to cut $2 trillion from the federal government before Trump's inauguration, but cut that number to $1 trillion after the administration took office. Musk and his Doge goons immediately started hacking away at the federal government, pretending it was all a crusade against fraud and waste.
Social Security is the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time.
But all of their claims about these programs have been disproven. Remember, Social Security is your money that you've already paid into the system. By making it difficult for you to access Social Security, they are keeping your money from you. And then there's the attempted destruction of agencies that protect you from big banks and bad bosses. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the watchdog to make sure banks don't steal your money, and the National Labor Relations Board, which protects workers' rights. Elon stated he wanted to completely annihilate the CFPB, which so far hasn't happened, but he did send in one of his little helpers to gut the bureau. And that little helper, of course, was heavily invested in the companies CFPB regulates. Both agencies regulate companies Musk owns, from Tesla auto loans and a potential X.com payment system to the many, many labor issues at Tesla. And then there's the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Doge has also slashed up to 10% of their staff, cutting 70 to 80 jobs of those responsible for overseeing self-driving tech. That means that the agency regulating Tesla is losing critical watchdogs just as somebody's robo-taxi ambitions ramp up. Man, Elon loves a layoff. Last week, The Hill reported that Elon and Doge are responsible for half of all layoffs that have occurred in 2025 across industries. Even Doge's first target, USAID, had just announced inspections of Elon's Starlink terminals in Ukraine. And Elon fired all of the FDA inspectors who'd have overseen Neuralink, getting Elon one step closer to putting a chip in your brain. Though this recap of Doge sounds disastrous, and though it has surely been corrupt, not all of these things stuck. Many are being found unconstitutional in court. Remember checks and balances? Anyway, they all serve to take from you and give to Elon and his friends. Or, sorry, cronies, rather. A congressional report from the end of April revealed Elon and his companies faced at least $2.37 billion in potential federal fines and more than 60 regulatory actions themselves at the time of Trump's inauguration. Looking back now, it seems like his jurisdiction over government hiring came at quite a convenient time. But it seems like easing the regulatory pressures on his private companies wasn't enough for Elon. He also made a habit of using his position to secure new streams of revenue. As Doge chief, Musk oversaw federal spending while SpaceX held $15.16 billion in NASA contracts. Starlink is being reconsidered for major rural broadband projects the Biden administration pulled Starlink away from, and the FAA has magically decided to reconsider its $2.4 billion satellite contract with Verizon. They now want to replace Verizon's air traffic control internet with Starlink. As of March, Customs and Border Patrol is now using Starlink, and in April, SpaceX secured $5.92 billion of a $13.7 billion military satellite contract. The Air Force is also building Pacific landing pads exclusively for SpaceX's reusable rockets. The Federal Railroad Administration is also in talks with Musk's Boring Company to potentially help build Amtrak's costly Frederick Douglass Tunnel project between Baltimore and Washington, D.C. Wow. Looks like the federal government is beginning to revolve around Elon Musk. Elon's friends' firms, like Peter Thiel's Palantir and Anduril, are cashing in too. Palantir is embedded with Doge and the IRS to build a mega API to centralize access to all IRS data. That's your financial information. They've also been hired to build immigration surveillance technology, and all of that data could be merged into a central government operating system. Elon's influence will persist after he moves away from day-to-day government work. He embedded the federal government with his cronies who worked for him in the private sector. One of his longtime confidants joined Doge to oversee Social Security fraud detection. Former Neuralink, X, Tesla, and Boring Company staffers are embedded throughout federal IT and other systems. These staffers will long outlive Elon's 130 days. But who cares, right? I mean, if you don't think about it, we're actually very lucky to have someone like Elon. There are not many people who would generously volunteer to personally audit all of our private information and finances in the first couple weeks upon taking a new job. Who knows how that data will be used? Some commenters suggest that Elon could harness competitor data in enriching his own companies and wrongfully use labor data that bosses aren't meant to access to further crack down on the workers at his own companies. So as we were all distracted with the little things like freezing Medicaid spending for a day and pausing Meals on Wheels, Elon was likely performing one of his greatest data heists of all time. This hasn't just been an assault on our institutions, it is a war on all of us. Reporter Judd Legum has dedicated the last 6 months to researching Musk's involvement in the government.
He came in promising to cut $2 trillion from the annual federal budget deficit. Even by his own admission, he has allegedly cut $160 billion. But if you actually look at the data, it's much, much less, a small fraction of that. First of all, if you take the $160 billion top line that Musk is claiming, they don't account for about $100 billion of that. It's just completely added out of thin air. The pledge was to cut from the annual budget. Many of these contracts span 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. They're just pretending as if all of these cuts would be realized in the first year, when really it's this much smaller number of cuts spread over 3 or 4 years. When the government negotiates these contracts, they have options where they can oftentimes vastly expand the scope of the contract if they want to. Essentially, what Musk is doing is pretending as if the contract value is with all of the options exercised, even if many of those have not been exercised and would never have been exercised. When you take out the amounts that he has not at all accounted for, when you take out the grants and contracts where he's provided no information that can be identified, when you take out the unexercised options and all the other tricks he's employing, we found only about $5 billion in verified cuts that would be realized in fiscal year 2026. The budget that was just submitted by Trump increases defense spending by about $119 billion. Much of that money will go to SpaceX to build a Golden Dome missile defense system. So $5 billion is not very much when you're thinking about the federal budget.
But the Doge agenda isn't over. Now that they've failed to realize the spending cuts he promised, the mission is going to be picked up by Congress, which just proves that despite Elon's bombastic style, the substance of his agenda was nothing new. An insistence on cutting the programs that actually help working people in exchange for tax cuts and literal wealth transfer to the rich. All Elon brought to the table was a new face, louder megaphone, and a boatload of conflicts of interest. The establishment GOP is loving it. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and Republican leadership in Congress are already vowing to codify Doge's cuts into law for fiscal year 2026. Elite Republicans aren't running away from Elon's brand of politics. In fact, it's not even his brand, it's theirs. Still, there's reason to be hopeful. There is reason to take action. Folks are actively working to block the most harmful Doge action items. Lawsuits from unions, local governments, and nonprofits are mounting. The public backlash, as represented by the hands-off protests across the country, is growing. And Elon's efforts to buy a Supreme Court election in Wisconsin were sharply rebuked as voters in the state overwhelmingly issued a verdict that they don't particularly care for billionaires seizing the government. It's precisely because of all of this pushback against Musk's unpopularity that the White House wants to separate themselves from him. Make sure the people around you know exactly who is responsible and who's holding the pen. We won't let them run this playbook forever. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Brian Tyler Cohen here in an exclusive collaboration with More Perfect Union. If you want to support more nonprofit reporting like this, please don't forget to like and subscribe.